This episode is brought to you by EY. How can EY teams help you create a better version of your company? We work with you to turn data into greater insights, invest to drive growth, and realize your strategic vision through thoughtful implementation. Visit ey.com/reimagine to learn more.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy, of advancing education, by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
This is Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Tim Stenovec on Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Mike, let's talk about the IPO business, one of my favorite businesses. I did a ton of IPOs back in the day. It's always fun bringing a new company to market, see how the management team does in front of investors, see how investors react to, you know, new stories, new management teams, not so much this year.
Yeah, talk about something else that's dead. You know, you got tumbleweed blowing through the IPO desks.
Exactly right, and they're going to see it in their bonus checks. Unfortunately, our good friends there. But check this data out. Ernst & Young, that's how I refer to them, but they're EY. That's their new branding. EY recently released its quarterly IPO data report, which shows overall deal proceeds dropped 94%.
What? 94%.
And a number of deals dropped 78%. I don't think I've ever seen numbers like that. So let's dig into that. We can do that with Rachel Gehring, IPO leader. Tough business in 2022 for EY Americas. She joins us via Zoom from Nashville, Tennessee. Rachel, thank you so much for joining us here. I don't think I've ever seen numbers like that. Help give us some context for what happened in the IPO market this year.
Well, the IPO market certainly took a reverse turn from what we saw in 2021. Roughly 90 IPOs here in the U.S., which is the lowest number in volume that we've seen since 2009. $8.6 billion in proceeds raised, which is the lowest in proceeds raised we've seen in over two decades.
Wow.
So far from what we saw in 2021 that broke records going all in the opposite direction.
Well, that's a good point. You know, these year-over-year numbers are comparing the market to just a bonanza. Everyone was coming to market, SPACs and everything else in 2021, I guess. So that's part of the story behind that huge percentage drop. But Rachel, how does this look now going forward? Or is there now a bottleneck of IPOs that we'll see in 2023 if the conditions are a little bit better? You know, can we expect to see a lot of deals that were canceled sort of come to market next year?
It's hard to say. What certainly has been impacting the IPO market for 22, and I heard in your earlier segment, those headwinds that all companies are facing, you know, are not going to change course immediately in 2023. So expect a slower start in 23, hopeful for the back end of 23 for volatility to settle out and the market to reopen. And then certainly into 24, we can start to be optimistic as well. But we need, you know, companies to come to market that have strong performance, strong profitability. Those are the types of companies that are really going to attract investors on the onset.
All right. Well, given that backdrop, Rachel, is the SPAC market dead?
I don't think the SPAC market is dead. We're not going to see the volumes that we've seen in 2021. We need three things to happen with SPACs. One, some of the backlog needs to be cleared out. So we will continue to see liquidations and then hopefully also some deal announcements and mergers to be completed. We also need the regulatory overhang to clear out. So final rulemaking from the SEC. And then third is overall market perception really needs to improve around SPACs. And so that's going to start with performance of those companies that already completed a de-SPAC to start to improve and really drive some improved investor perception.
You know, Rachel, Paul made a good point about the actual bankers, the humans involved in all these deals. What do you think most banks do? Do they keep these bankers around in case there is a rebound, or maybe, you know, if things get bad enough, there's a lot of secondary offerings to work through? What is, you know, kind of the mood of the bosses of the bankers of IPO desks going into 2023?
Yeah, it's hard for me to say in terms of, you know, the exact mood on the banking side of the house. But the one thing I would say is we've been here before. We've seen retrenchments in IPO activity like we're experiencing right now. And we've also seen the quick recoveries that come. So it's hard to predict exactly when that IPO recovery will occur. But when it does, it comes quickly and the markets certainly improve. So I think we can all weather through this storm. And right now, companies are focused on taking this time to be focused on the business, focused on their fundamentals, shoring up and preparing to go public, which is looking at their talent and taking the advantage of the market right now to really attract, you know, strong talent and improve business performance.
Did you think is a lower interest rate environment sort of a prerequisite to get IPOs to market? You know, is it just get those animal spirits going again when money's cheaper?
We don't think that low interest rates that we've experienced, you know, for a number of years is a necessity. I think what we need is just we need the interest rates just to level out. We need a level of predictability. But we've had IPOs in high interest rate environments before. So interest rates coming down to what we've been experiencing close to zero is not a necessity.
Rachel, one of the drivers historically for initial public offerings has been, you know, the private equity business. They're bringing some of their portfolio companies public. Do we have any kind of information on maybe the backlog there? Will private equity sponsored companies be a source of IPO activity when the market does come back?
Certainly. We definitely expect when the market starts to reopen, PE will be a strong influencer of those companies coming to market. Right now, PE is being cautious with where they put their investments today. And we're seeing them place more investments into their current portfolios and helping those portfolio companies really prepare, improve their strength and viability through, you know, these, you know, unpredictable times that everybody's facing right now.
You know, Rachel, I wonder geographically if there were any areas of the country that were hit harder in this slowdown in IPOs than others.
Geographically, hard to say, particularly across the U.S., if that's your focus, but certainly the tech sector overall. So then you could say the West Coast has been, you know, hit in an outsized manner. A lot of that is really when you think about those who went public in 2021 and their performance today, currently trailing well below the market, does not bode well for the tech sector. And so that's been impacting certainly that West Coast.
Yeah, and I kind of follow up on that a little bit. I mean, there was a call to be made over the last, I don't know, really dozen years. There's so much venture capital money out there, so much private equity money out there, that a company really didn't need to come public or didn't need to come public as soon as maybe it historically did. It could wait a little bit. Is that still the case, or is some of that VC money and PE money kind of, I don't know, pulling back maybe?
Mm-hmm. I would say there's certainly a lot of dry powder still out there with PE and VC. They're definitely being more cautious in how they put that money to work. We'll see how that trend continues throughout 2023, but they're proceeding and making investments cautiously and carefully reviewing what they're looking to invest in. ESG is a prime topic that we're seeing an increased focus from PE in particular through due diligence and so forth. But I definitely think PE and VC will continue putting their funds to work. And that will always provide companies, you know, opportunity for additional capital. But with rising rates, the cost of debt, that's certainly going to impact PE and VC. So that's where the math and the IPO math may start to work, may not, for certain companies who just need the capital.
All right, Rachel, good stuff. We really appreciate it. Rachel Gehring, IPO leader for EY Americas, joining us via Zoom from Nashville, Tennessee. And I'll read that data again. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen that. EY recently released its quarterly IPO data report, which shows overall deal proceeds dropped 94%. And get the numbers here, $155 billion last year, $9 billion this year. So go figure, man.
Well, I will say, though, Paul, you know, and listeners on the radio can't see this, but Rachel has the most festive Zoom background.
Yeah, it is. It's very good. Today. A game there. Trees. Got a couple
so good
Christmas
to see
trees.
Her holiday spirit's not been impacted by
Rachel
this,
Gearing from EY Americas. Good stuff there looking at these markets. Again, we closed higher today. You know, we'll take that. I mean, yeah, it was a tough week, and it's good for a Friday. We got Christmas Eve. And we'll come back and we'll finish out the year next week, and then we'll start off a new year, hopefully a better year for equity and fixed income markets. This is Bloomberg.
The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.